Okay, Parshas Chukas. The Rabbeinu Bachai begins the Parsha with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. B'ni shmor amarai umutzvosai titzponitach. My son, watch my words and my mitzvos hide with you. Shmor mitzvosai v'chyei, guard my mitzvos and live. B'sarasi ki shoninach, and my Torah like your eye. So, Rabbeinu Bachai here says that the Torah is split up, as in a general statement here, the Torah is split up into three types of mitzvot, generally. There are Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim. Many have talked about this because the Pasuk uses those words. So what are the Eidos? The Eidos are, he says, mitzvot that you would not have thought of on your own, but that they are all Eidos that Hashem created the world, runs the world. So like tefillin, tzitzis, milah, sukkah, shofar, lulav, all that stuff. So those are mitzvos that give testimony that Hashem created the world, controls the world, that we have to follow his mitzvos. They make sense, but they're just stuff you wouldn't make up on your own. You know, it's not part of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. It's all things that Hashem has to tell you what he wants you to do, but they're edus to Hashem being ruler of the world and taking us out of Mitzrayim and all this kind of stuff. Those are Eidos. Then there are Mishpatim. Mishpatim are the stuff that you need for general society and you would have thought of on your own, like Ritzicha and Geneva and those kind of things, those type of mitzvos, the Bnei Adam L'Chaveiros. And then there is the Chukim. And the Chukim are the mitzvos that not only what we thought of on our own, we don't understand them at all. We don't understand how they work or why. We just know Hashem said to do it, so we don't understand it. We know Hashem knows why he wants us to do it, so we follow. Those are the three types of mitzvahs: Eidos, Mishpatim, and Chukim. So he says that is what the Pasuk here in Mishlei is referring to when it says B'ni Shemor Amarai. He says Amarai, my words are the mitzvahs that are called Eidoses that Hashem tells us to do, that we understand. Then there's this, skipping the next one, there's the Shmor Mitzvosai Vechyei, that refers to the Vechyei and live. Those tell you that it's talking about mitzvos that you live by, as in like the Beit Adam L'Chaveros. And then the one beforehand, the Mitzvosai Titzponisach, that my mitzvos should be hidden with you. The hidden mitzvos, those are Chukim, the mitzvos we do not understand why Hashem gave it to us, like Paraduma, which is, of course, the segue into this week's Parsha. But before we get there, he does mention this Eidos, Chukim, Mishpatim. Obviously, it comes from the Torah, where the Pasuk that's quoted in the Haggadah, where probably most of us are more familiar from it in the Haggadah, it says in Devarim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav, Kishalcha bincha machar lemar ma ha'edos ha'chukim ha'mishpatim ha'shar tziva Hashem elokeinu eschem v'marta labincha avada mayinu lapar b'mitzrayim. So we all know that from the Haggadah. So the son, remember, this is the Chacham's son, right? The son asked the father, what are the Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim that Hashem commanded you to do? So that the Rabbeinu Chai just explained to you what that meant, the three types of mitzvahs. And your answer is, Alanu Meyuno L'Parim B'Mitzrayim. So Rabbeinu Chai says that Hashem's existence started to become famous amongst the Goyim at Yetzias Mitzrayim. Obviously, Adam HaRishon, Adam knew about Hashem, but at some point it was lost, I guess in Enosh's time, whatever, and they started doing it. But at some point it's lost. People didn't know about there being a Hashem, even though Avram spread it, I guess not as widely. But he says, in the general knowledge of Hashem began at Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's when the world started knowing about it more, I guess re-knowing about it. And then since it happened through us, and because it was done, all the chesed we got from those miracles. Therefore, that's why we keep these Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim. But that's what the point is, that it starts with Avada Meyinu B'Mitzrayim, B'Mitzrayim, Hashem's existence in the world. That's part, I guess, the part of the Eidos part. Hashem's existence in the world started to become famous through Yetzias Mitzrayim, and since it became famous through us, and because we are Hashem, for doing this for us, therefore we have to keep the Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim. Okay, moving on. So we said we started talking about Chukim, which is the Paraduma, which is of course the most famous Chok. And the Rabbeinu Bachai says the Lashon Chok is Milashon chakika, which he said, which is like something engraved. So he says that it means, but because the thing, it's a remez to the things that are, this is what we're doing is a remez to some picture upstairs. There's something chakuk in shamayim that this is a remez to the chukim, which we're talking about the paraduma, is a remez to something going on upstairs, some shamayim yidika thing. That's lashon chok. It's there's something chakuk upstairs that is a remez to this. Also, milashon gvul, boundary. A chok, like a, it says, Asher samti chol gvul liyam chak olam. So he says that's why the chok means a gvul, abandoned boundary, meaning you can't understand it. That's why it's called a chok. It's the boundary of human understanding. That's another reason why it's called a chok. Okay. Now, Shlomo famously said, Shlomo was the smartest of all men, and he said he couldn't figure out Paraduma, but Rabbeinu Bechai brings his Midrashim that when Lasid Lavo, everyone will understand it in Olam Haba. But the Pasuk, he kind of digresses a little bit, the Pasuk that says that Shlomo HaMelech was smarter than everybody, says, it's the Pasuk of Melech HaMelech, Perakei Alech Yud, Perakei Pasuk Yud, Shlomo was smarter than the people of Kedem and the people of Mitzrayim. So he brings here the Gemara's Midrashim that talk about what was so smart about the people of Kedem and people of Mitzrayim. I just think there's an interesting story here. Many of you may have heard it, but it's an interesting story. What's so smart? It says Shlomo was smarter than the Mitzrayim. What was so smart about the Mitzrayim? So it says when Shlomo wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, he asked Paranacho that he should send him professionals and to build the Beis HaMikdash. And Paranacho gathered all his astrologers and said, find for me all the people in Egypt who are professionals who are going to die within, you know, shortly. So he gathered all these people that through his astrology he knew they were going to die. And he sent them to Shlomo to work on his Beis HaMikdash. They get to Shlomo. Shlomo sees in Ruach HaKodesh that they're all going to die, and he sends them back to Paranacho with Tachrichim, and says, oh, I see you must be lacking Tachrichim over there in Mitzrayim. Here, have some Tachrichim. Just an interesting story. And he also ends off that Shlomo said, Amarti Achakma V'hirachokim Mimeni. Just says, V'hirachok is the Gematria of Paradu. Okay, then we have something fascinating. He brings this Medrash that says that there are four things that the Yetzirah bothers us about, because it's hard to understand. And these are they. Ready? Eish Esach. I bet you didn't know that was the biggest chok in the world. You'll see why in a second if you don't know already. Eish Esach, number one. Number two, Kilayim. Okay, that we hear a little better. That's a much bigger chok. Number three, Seir HaMishtaleach. And number four, Para Aduma. Those are the four things that the Yetzirah is Meshiv Aleim, he says. And what's so shver about them? What's shver about them is Eish Esach is a chiyuv karis, but in the case of Yibum, it's a mitzvah. Kilayim is an iser of kilayim, but when it's with, you take your tchelas wool and your pishtim tzitzis, you put it together, then it's a mitzvah. And Seir HaMishtaleach, and so the Seir HaMishtaleach, it gets thrown off a cliff. It itself dies, and it's mechaper for acherim, and paraduma is mitami everybody who works on it, but works with it, but it makes others tahor. These are the ones that the Yetzirah has tainas on, and that says the medrash is what the pasuk says: mi yitein tahor mitame lo echad. Who would take get a tahor out of a tame? Isn't it Hashem, like Avraham from Terach, Hizkiyahu miachas, Mordechai from Shimi? Okay. Anyway, so the Rabbeinu Bechai explains what this Medrash is trying to tell us. He says this Medrash is telling us a chiddush gadol about these four things they may not have realized. They're all based on mi yitein tahar mitame. So all these things, sounds like he's saying, are things that are negative that you're bringing something positive out of, which is, if I understood this correctly, right? That sounds like not the way we thought of Paraduma. They asked you, Eish Esach, that's an erva, right? The wife of your brother is an erva. So is that a negative thing or a positive thing? I'd say overall negative. You're not allowed to marry an Eish Zach. There is a rare example, a rare instance called Yibam, where it becomes a mitzvah. Right? It's overall negative, but it becomes a mitzvah. Like, you know, if you learn Yivamas, you know, I had a Rebbe who in America used to call certain Eish Zachs pro-Yibam. The Eish Zach almost seems in some cases like it causes the Yibam. If you're missing the Eish Zach, there's no mitzvah Yibam. Anyway, whatever the case may be, there's a mitzvah that comes out of the Eish Zach. The Eish Zach transforms itself somehow into being a mitzvah. It starts off generally a negative thing, but it can become a mitzvah. Kilayim is overall positive or negative? Negative. Kilayim is an avera. But there's a case, Tcheles, and Pishtan, if it's the Tcheles, which is Temer, the Pishtim, the Lavan, put it together, you can make a mitzvah out of it. So then we get to the other two, the Seira and Mishtaleach. So there, the way the Medrash describes it, is it itself is getting killed and it's Mechaper on others. The Ramban has a famous long story about how that works. It's as if it's somehow like you're giving a carbon to Hashem that Hashem says to give to the Kochas Atoma, something like that. We're bringing something positive out of something negative. And then you have Paraduma. Well, what's that? Well, my idea of Paraduma in my head is just one big Tahara thing, which also happens to be Mitame, the people who are working with it, true, but it's basically a Tahara thing. Anyway, it sounds like from here that, no, Paraduma is similar to Seira Mishtaleach. It's associated with, it's shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. We know it's similar in that way, like others point out. It's the sort of thing that's associated with negative, but through it comes Tahara. Anyway, and he says this is also similar to the Gemara in Nida that says miyitein tar mitame, that is chalav that comes from dam. The Gemara says the dam haisha's nechar v'nasa chalav. The woman's blood turns into milk that she gives her kids. That's also dam is always tuma. Obviously, dam isha is tuma, and it becomes chalav. Okay, then he goes on to talk about the pasuk says hanogea b'meis. Hu yizchata bo. So he says from this pasuk, we see the minig, a remnant to the minig, our minig, that when a person goes to a beis akvaros, they wash their hands. That's this minig, he says, based on this pasuk. And gave mace, hu yizchata bo. Because it's a remnant to the afer para. Now, of course, if you just wash your hands with water, that's not the afer para, but I assume he means it's a remnant to the Eifer Par in that you get some water spritzed on you, which happens to have some of that Eifer Par in it, so it's similar. It's a remnant to that idea. But, just in the in the Ramban and Taras Adam, which they bring in the Masada Rav Kook's over here, he says that, you know, for the Paraduma, we have Mayim, Eifer, and Ezov, right? To make the Paraduma stuff, you need the ash of the Paraduma, the Ezov, the Hyssop, and the Mayim. So you have all three. So he says, now I'm cutting myself off here a little bit, Rabbeinu Bachai goes on to say that this washing your hands after going to the Beis HaKvaros is number one, a remez to Efer Para, but it's also a remez to Tchias HaMesim, where everyone will be Nizer from Tumas. And he says that's also why we rip out grass when we leave, the remez to rip out grass when you leave a Beis HaKvaros. Because also the pasuk says that grass is at erev yumalel v'yaveshim, baboker it grows back. So that's the idea that there's a tchias amesim. But the Ramban here, just as an aside, Taras Adam says that the reason we do both these things is it's a remez to the paraduma, which is you wash your hands with water, you dry your hands on the ground, the dirt. I guess that's the assumed what they would do. Wash your hands and dry it on the dirt. So that's a remnant to the afer of the para, even though afer and afer, whatever, close enough. Yeah, the afer of the earth. And then you rip out the grass, which is a remnant to the azov. So you do all that, wash your hands and wipe your hands on the ground and rip out the grass. You got all three. Then we have the idea of if it touches b'chalal, the pasuk of b'chalal cherev omeis. It touches a chalal cherev omeis. The chalal cherev, so we know chazal make a drasha, that if a cherev hariyo kachalal, that if you just like if you touch a dead person, the dead person's avi avos atuma, and you become an avatuma. So too, if you touch the sword that killed the dead man, and in reality, it's not just the sword, any metal that touches the dead man, that metal has a din also like the dead man, that if you touch it, you are an Av HaTumah, and not one step down, you're an Av HaTumah. You're not a Rishon, you're an Av. That's the Chiddush, that metal things, if they touch a dead person, so then if you touch them, you're an Av HaTumah too. But Rabbeinu Bachai points out that it does not mean that it's like a dead man, that if you're in the same room as metal, that you're Tamei, which other Rishonim do say. Rabbeinu Bachai says that cannot be, because then there'd be no room in the world that a Kohen could ever go into. And even if you say nowadays we're not in Israel, but about times based on Mikdash, it just won't work. Because if it was, it means any time, right, your glasses are metal, right? So imagine you go to a funeral and you're in the same room as a dead guy. So we'll say, oh, well, I'm in the same room as dead guy now. My glasses are tummy. And therefore, since it's metal, now they're matami every room I go into. And even if you don't want to be that extreme on taking a step down, which other Rishonim do, that if your glasses or whatever touched a dead person, then it's matami ball. That's still, and there, and certainly in the olden times, where they went to war all the time, he says, who wouldn't have had a sword in the house that would have touched a dead guy? Impossible. You can't walk into houses. You wouldn't be a no coin to be able to walk into a house. So he just discounts the whole thing, and he says that the cherev kachal just means that if you touch it, if you touch a metal thing that touched a dead guy, then you become an av and not a rishon, but that it's not connected to ohel. Later on in Perek Chaf, the first pasuk, this is I think known to sort of people who know, pay attention to these things, but it's interesting to those of us who don't. In Perek Chaf Pasuk Aleph, the Rabbeinu Bachai just says the following words: Da, you should know, She'ein b'Torah klal shum ma'isa o shum nevua rak b'shana rishona b'shnas arba'im. In the whole Torah, all the ma'isim about the Midbar, it is there was no, he says, no story and no nevua except in year 1 and year 40. No other nevua was said or ma'isa happened in any other year other than year 1 in the Midbar and year 40. Okay, just an important thing to know. And then we get on to the famous story of Moshe hitting the rock. So there's a big machokas rishonim, big, like a lot of different opinions, about what the avera was of Moshe hitting the rock that caused him to not get into Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabbeinu Bachai quotes three opinions. One is Rashi, everybody knows Rashi. Rashi is Moshe was supposed to talk to the rock, and he hit the rock, and because of that, had he talked to the rock, it would have been a bigger Kiddush Hashem. But because he hit the rock, that was his Avera. The Rambam, in Shmona Prakim, says that it is because he said, Moshe said, Shimuna Hamorim, you rebellious ones. And Moshe got angry at them, and Moshe was not supposed to get angry at them. And because he got angry at them, that was a problem. It was a Chilul Hashem, because he was the Tzaddik. So the people thought if he's mad at them, they must have done an Avera. And Hashem wasn't mad at them, so therefore that's why he got punished. And Rabbi Nachmanal says it's because he said the word notzi. Notzi lechemayim. We will take out water from there. So he was told the gedula ba'atzmo, and that was his avera. Those are the three opinions Rabbi Nachmanal bring. Okay, so Rabbi Nachmanal asked questions on each one of them. On Rashi's pshat, he says, okay, it wasn't as great a Kiddush Hashem as it could have been, but hitting the rock is still a pretty big miracle. And since Hashem told Moshe to take the stick, why should he take the stick if not to hit the rock? So he doesn't like that answer. He's not so happy with the Rambam's answer because we don't find that Moshe got angry. It just says Hamorim. So it says he was angry. Maybe that was his way of giving Musar to them. And Aaron got punished. He didn't say that. And then, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, it says that Minasela Zanotzi Lechamayim, but Moshe wasn't saying we did it. Moshe was asking, could we do it? Meaning, you guys are complaining, HaMinasela Zanotzi Lechamayim? Are we going to take water out of here from you? It's Hashem who's going to take water out of here from you, for you. So they weren't being told it in themselves. But he seems to like Rabbeinu Chananel the best of all the pshatim. Anyway, the pshat that Rabbeinu Bachai himself gives, I cannot tell you because it's Kabbalah, and I am not a Kabbalist, so I cannot explain it to you. But if you are a Kabbalist, you can look it up. But as an aside, I do want to mention to you that the Ran in Drashos explains that Moshe was supposed to take the rock to be there, the staff, the stick, to be there, not to hit it, but because once you do a mitzvahs or attach kedusha or holiness to a thing, it's easier for it to do it again. So since the staff had been used for so many miracles and had so much kedusha, it was easier for it to cause more miracles. So if you just have the staff nearby, it's more likely to, you know, it makes it easier to do the miracle, whatever that means. But he says many yesodas from that, like when you go to a Beis HaKfaras and you daven for people, you're not davening to the dead guy. Of course, everybody knows that. Some people ask that the dead person should go daven before them to Hashem. Okay, others think that that's not allowed, but the Ran says what you're doing is you're davening near the tzaddik, who was nifter, and since his bones were infused with so much kedusha, so that's why your tefillos said near that tzaddik have more likelihood of being answered. Anyway, but that's just an aside. So those are the three explanations he brings by the Rishonim and his questions on them. Then we have Bnei Yisrael, later on in the parsha, sending messengers to Edom, saying we want to pass through your land. And in the course of that discussion, so they're telling the king of Edom their history, that we got messed over by the Egyptians, and then we davened Hashem, and Hashem sent the Malach, and he took us out of Mitzrayim. So who's that Malach? So Rashi already says that's Moshe. So Rabbi Nachman explains, it was referring to Moshe because they viewed Moshe as a Malach. And he says that, not literally, but not really human either, like a Malach. And that no regular things could happen to him. Almost supernatural, almost. But kind of like a Malach. So he says, when Moshe didn't come down from Har Sinai, the Pasuk says, Ki ze Moshe ha'ish asher ha'elon ha'meretz b'tayim. Rabbeinu Bachai says, that's what they were saying. They were so confused. Ki ze Moshe ha'ish? In other words, like this Moshe appears to now be a man. Like something can happen to him. That's what they meant by that. If you look into, also, since we're on the topic of Drashos Haran, the Ran also says in his Drashos that Moshe was kind of like a Malach. He wasn't a Malach, he was a person, but Hashem let him, remember it says that no Navi will ever be as great as Moshe. Hashem did raise Moshe to a super, you know, on his own, not because of Moshe's doing. Hashem raised him a certain extent higher than anyone could ever reach because he was the one who was going to get the Torah and his Nevuah had to be on a higher level. So he was, in a sense, elevated, almost like a Malach. Anyway, that's by Yishlach HaMalach was Moshe. And then there's something interesting when they say, we're going to go on the main road, Ad Asher Na'avor Gvulecha, until we pass through your borders. That's a strange thing to say. They weren't trying to pass, they were trying to pass through the borders, but they were trying, it's like, I want to cut through your backyard to get to the supermarket. So can I cut through your backyard until I get through your backyard? You mean until you get to the supermarket? Like, it's just a funny way of saying, we will keep walking through until we get to where we're going. Why didn't Rabbi Nachman says, why didn't they say, Ad Asher Na'avor El Ha'aretz? Right? By Sichon, they mentioned that. They were trying to get to Israel. Just to clarify, Grant, in our Parsha, they don't mention Eretz Yisrael to Sichon either. But in Dvarim, they do. If you look in Dvarim and Perek Beis, there it does say that they told Sichon we're going to be over Sayardin El Arts Sherlock Shemlakin and Osilanum. They never said that to the king of Edom. Why not? So Bin Abachai says, interestingly, that they never mentioned Eretz Yisrael to Edom because they didn't want to get in a fight about who's the right owner of Israel. Right? Because Esav could have said, what do you mean? It's my. They didn't want to start that whole Bechorah fight again. So that's why he didn't mention we're going to Israel. They didn't want to talk about Israel. We just want to get through your land. If you look at Rashi, they hinted to King of Edom all about, we took on the bad part of the Bechorah. We got the Shibud. You didn't. But they didn't mention it explicitly. And that's the reason, he says, Rabbeinu Bachai. Okay, Aaron then dies. And it says, Ve'yiru kala yidaki kava Aharon. So we're all familiar with Rashi tells us, the Medrash Altikru Vayiru El Vayeru, right? As soon as Aaron died, the Anani HaKavod went away, and then the Amalekim came after them, And Chazal tell us when it says Vayiru kol eda ki gava Aaron, and the whole eda saw that Aaron died, don't read it Vayiru, ela Vayeru. So I'm just mentioning this only because I made this mistake my whole life. I thought that meant that they were afraid because they saw they didn't have the Anania Kavod. Okay, if you're listening to this and thinking I'm crazy, that's fine. Anyway, now I know it because Rabin Bechai says it clearer. Vayeru means they were seen because the Anania Kavod went away. They used to be covered by them, and now that they were gone, they were seen. So it was like, since almost sounds like a cloaking device type of thing. All right, anyway, so they went away when Aaron died, and fine. Then we have Bnei Yisrael complaining that they didn't have Kein Lanu, Kein Lechem Be'yamai, Lechem Ve'ein Ma'ay. How's it go? The pasuk is, it says, V'tikter Nefesham Baderech, and then they started complaining, and then why'd you take us out of Mitzrayim? Kein Lechem Ve'ein Ma'ayim, and Avshinu Katsa Ba'lechem Ha'klokel. We don't have bread, we don't have water, and we're disgusted with this Lechem Ha'klokel. So the question is obvious, what do you mean they didn't have bread and water? Yes, they did have bread and water. They had them on, and they certainly had a boy, if you want to say that's not bread. They certainly had water, right? They had the bear Miriam. And why complain about not having bread when they had them on? That's all they needed. So Rabbeinu Bechai explains what they were complaining about is that we don't have bread and water like everybody else, meaning everything comes as needed. You know, the man came once a day, and that was it. They didn't have it. They didn't have more. You couldn't store it in the cupboards, right? They didn't have bread, meaning they didn't have bread like normal people have bread that they could stick it in their cupboards. They had magical bread. And because of that, water. The water came from Bear Miriam. As soon as Miriam dies, it's gone. What does that tell you? That means all their food and water was tully in schus. They had to keep the mitzvahs to get food and water. Regular people, in regular lives, if a person doesn't keep the Torah and mitzvahs, they may still have food in their closet, in their cupboard. Because the world works in Derech HaTeva, and if a person does an Avera, they don't necessarily, you know, the world doesn't necessarily blow up for them. They're giving time maybe to tshuva and olam ha'av, you know, and eventually, there's a din v'cheshbon. But in this world, they have food in the cupboard, they don't need to worry about always being doing the right thing. When you're getting magical bread, so when you're getting the mun every day, so it's all schus. If there's no schusim, no more water. So that's what they complained about it. It was stressful, I guess, is what they're saying, to have that. And plus, they didn't like the Lechem HaKlokel. They thought they were, in the sense that they thought they were going to blow up because they never went to the bathroom. Now, Rabbeinu Bechai explains that this was also, of course, because they were so good. It was because they were on such a high level that, remember, even a little child saw more than Yechezkel ben Buvis would see. So these are all people on a very high level, and Hashem wanted them to live like this, so that they should become rugel in the Midas HaBitachon. On their high level, they should become rugel in Midas HaBitachon. That's why he made it this way. But they complained. So Hashem sent on them a nachash. A nachash, as we know, is for speaking Lashon Hara, and that's what they did. So Hashem sent the nachashim after them. Now Rabbeinu Bechai explains, these were not like created nachashim. He says these were the regular snakes that were always there. Hashem didn't make any miracles to bring snakes. What he did was remove a miracle. The Anani HaKavod used to burn them up, he says. They used to be Soref, the snakes. And Hashem now stopped them from being Soref, the snakes that are naturally in the desert. And those are the ones that were biting the Jews. The regular poisonous snakes that you find in the desert, they were all over the place. The Anani HaKavod stopped zapping them. But that's why he calls them the Srafim, because the Anani HaKavod used to burn them, and now Midah Kenegan Midah, so they were getting the Srafim. So they're, well, not Midah Kenegan Midah, but whatever. They had been being Nisraf, and now they were being Sarif them. Okay. All right, just to skip to the end of the parasha, we have Moshe going to war, the Bnei Yisrael go to war with Sichon and Og. So he brings the Gemara in Nidah, Samach Aleph Amad Aleph, that says Sichon and Og were brothers. So, I'm not sure why this never occurred to me before. That means Sichon was really old too. Og, we know, is from the Mabel, right? And he told Avram about Lot and all that. Vayevo apalit. So, whatever Schus, Og, so Og had a Schus, and he lived for many, many years. But if Sichon was his brother, that means Sichon also lived for a really long time. What Schus did he have? Rabbeinu Bechai says, we don't know. You must have had some schus, or maybe who knows? We don't know the ways of Hashem. But yes, Sichon lived for a really long time too. Moshe was afraid of Og because he had that tzchus. He wasn't afraid of Sichon, but they were brothers. And he says, so how come, if they were from the time of the Mabul, how come they're not dead? So you know, Og held on to the edge of the Teva. He wasn't in the Teva, but the Medrash says he was holding on to the edge. But how about Sichon? We never hear anything about him. Well, like Rashi brings here, that there was this, whoever, Sham Chazoyel, whatever his name is, or the B'nai, hello, him, I guess. So he was Baal Ishto Shel Cham. Right before Cham went into the Teva, this person, the Sham Chazal, was Ba on Eshes Cham, and she got pregnant in the Teva. I hope you're paying attention to this soap opera. She got pregnant in the Teva with Sichon. Because of that, Cham famously was Ba on his wife. That's what Chazal tell us about. He got punished because they were Aser B'Tashmish on the boat. Cham was Ba on his wife. Why? Kedei L'chapos Aleha. Because she was pregnant. So to be Mechapa Aleha, says Rabbeinu Bechai, Cham was Ba on her. That's what he writes. And Sichon was born on the ark, he says. That's what he says. Sichon nolad b'teva. So that's how he survived. He didn't go in, but he was born on the teva. And Og hung out the side. And that's how they lived. And why did Sichon live so long? We don't know, but he did for whatever Cheshbon Hashem had. He brings a Yesh Shapirish that this Og wasn't the real Og. This was a relative, like a great-great-great-grandson. And Moshe was afraid of the schus of his great-great-grandfather might be with him. And the fact that he wasn't afraid of Sichon, who should have had the same, if they were brothers, why wouldn't Sichon have had the same schus if it was just, a schus avos type thing? So he says they must have been brothers Menahem, according to that pshat. But anyway, he rejects it. You know, it sounds like a nice pshat to me, but what do I know? Rabbeinu Bechai rejects it because he says that's not what Chazal sound like. It sounds like they held that this Og was the Og. And therefore, our Kabbalah is it was Og himself. And if you're going to say Sichon was his brother, then it comes out Sichon lived a very long time. Okay, that's it. Have a good Shabbos.